ADK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Your voice, your vote. I'm Sherry Preston.
If we win Michigan, we win the whole thing, the whole thing.
Every single vote matters. So let me ask you, who here has a plan to vote?
Closing arguments in Grand Rapids, Michigan for Donald Trump and in Philadelphia for Kamala Harris. 538 senior election analyst Nathaniel Rakich with more on what he'll be watching for tonight.
I think you want to pay attention to some bellwether counties. So thinking places like Erie County in Pennsylvania, or maybe a place that is just going to be really important to one candidate's win. So call that Wayne County in Michigan, which is where Detroit is. A lot of Democratic votes there. We are probably going to see some of those red and blue shifts that we saw in 2020.
At least 82 million Americans have already cast their ballots. This is ABC News. Police in Tennessee arresting an alleged neo-Nazi accused of plotting to use a drone attack on a power plant. He could face life behind bars. A lot of kids turning to caffeine for a kick, and it's taking a toll on their health, says ABC's Rhiannon Alley.
A new study finds the rate of kids visiting hospital ERs for caffeine overdoses has skyrocketed, more than doubling since 2017. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends teens consume no more than 100 milligrams of caffeine per day. That's about one cup of coffee a day. Symptoms of caffeine overload include anxiety, heart palpitations, and, in severe cases, heart attacks and even death.
A big change in the way Buckingham Palace will be run. The front gates will soon be open for tourists. Usually they are only open for the royal family, and the changing of the guard, King Charles, has been moving to make royal homes more open to the public. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
College basketball underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's team opened up their season with an 85-61 win over Holy Cross in Madison. Head coach Greg Gard asked if he's determined who his starting five are going to be.
That was my main message to him tonight. As we go on this journey over the next five and a half months, we have to be together because it's going to be different people on different nights. Who starts? In my mind, I've never talked about it and made a big deal of who is starting. Everybody knows they need to be ready.
In Milwaukee, number 18th ranked Marquette with a 102-62 win over Stony Brook. UW Green Bay lost their opener on the road at Oklahoma State 89-76 under new head coach Doug Gottlieb. Baseball, the Brewers' Matt Arnold has been named Major League Baseball's Executive of the Year. Pitcher Frankie Montez will become a free agent after declining his option. NBA, the Bucks battled but let it slip away in the final minute, losing in Cleveland 116-114. The Bucks host the Utah Jazz on Thursday with sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Martha Stewart might be dealing with a hangover due to her displeasure with her biopic Martha on Netflix. While promoting her new cookbook during an appearance on a game show similar to Family Feud, she took a shot at Ryan Reynolds. When asked which actors she would like to hang out with in real life, she listed George Clooney, her pal Snoop Dogg, and Brad Pitt, but made a point to say Ryan Reynolds is not funny in real life, adding that he is very serious. She also acknowledged her comments might not go over so well since the two are neighbors in real life. Despite the final season of of Succession bringing Kieran Culkin his first Golden Globe Award, the actor has still not seen the series finale. In a recent appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Culkin said he missed it because he was in Poland filming a movie and then went right to a vacation with his family. The actor told Colbert he knows what happens, but just sort of missed his chance. If only there was a way he could still watch it. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy and breezy with rain likely today. We could end up with a quarter to a half inch or more by the time it winds down this evening. High today in the low 50s. The wind will be northeast at 15 to 25. Tonight, 37. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 50. By Thursday, sunshine with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for Election Day coverage. Wisconsin Decides 2024. We'll have all the news of Election Day as it unfolds from our election headquarters. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, November 5th. We made it, boys and girls. We made it to Election Day, and we're at the Civic Media Global headquarters at the top of State Street, just a block off the Capitol Square here in Madison, where we have a very pretty set downstairs that we're just itching to show off to you. In fact, I think I can actually show it off right now. Let's see. Let me, if you're watching on social media, there it is. Look at that. That is a thing of beauty. And that's where Todd Albaugh and I will be from 8 p.m. on tonight. So this is this is kind of what the undercard, a long undercard for election results that'll get started after polls close tonight. But polls aren't even open yet in Wisconsin. They open up just 53 minutes from now, 7 a.m. till 8 p.m. And let's see, we've got to make a couple of adjustments here to make sure we add Mr. Bach in here. There we go. Mr. Bach is in the room with me here as we're continuing to make sure that we've got a wonderful program to bring to you today, including something a little bit different in our first hour here. It's got an election tie, but it's not exactly what you might expect. You might recall Top Chef Wisconsin and talking to Chef Dan Jacobs. Not talking to him, but following him. We finally got to talk to him because he's also being active in election matters, and that this guy who very nearly won the Top Shelf competition is now urging folks to get out and vote today and to step up their civic engagement. And he is specifically showing his appreciation to Senator Tammy Baldwin. Now, there are a lot of things to keep in mind about this election. It really shouldn't be the last ad that you saw or the last piece of mail that you got. It should be 4 years worth of, or in Tammy Baldwin's case, 6 years worth of accomplishments. And for Dan Jacobs, that includes the pandemic relief program known as the Restaurant Revitalization Fund. It was something that saved untold numbers of restaurants, Dan Jacobs as well, in Milwaukee, and all the jobs that were saved for a time thanks to the Restaurant Revitalization Fund. So Dan Jacobs is looking forward to talking about that and his importance to Tammy Baldwin for that. I understand that there are folks who might not be hearing audio here, so I'm just going to double check my own settings. And yeah, got everything on that is supposed to be on. So hopefully you will be hearing some audio real soon as we work to get set up here in our Madison headquarters. So, yeah. Dan Jacobs also talks about the Farm Bill. Why is a Milwaukee chef talking about the Farm Bill? And climate change. Why is a Milwaukee chef talking about climate change? Well, because the Farm Bill includes all kinds of programs that help conserve land, help provide clean air and land and water, not only because of a changing climate, but as part of our food supply, so that farmers can be as efficient as possible, especially with, you know, stronger storms that are coming through and everything else that's brought by the climate being like it is. And so Dan Jacobs would like to see a Farm Bill passed. Tammy Baldwin's been working on that. Somebody like Derek Van Orden has not. So anyway, more from Dan Jacob about that in just a little bit here. In our second hour, we're going to be joined by Deborah Kronmiller of the Wisconsin League of Women Voters. This is a nonpartisan group that is tireless in its advocacy for people to vote. And it doesn't matter which party or whether you're an independent or what. It's a matter of getting out and vote and learning about the issues. So they do talk about the issues from a nonpartisan perspective. And they have a very set feeling on this constitutional amendment that is on the ballot today that would simply change a word or two in the state constitution. It's redundant. It's not this referendum is not necessary. And the League of Women Voters is saying as much, that this is a wasteful amendment. But more importantly, if that change is made to the state constitution about citizens voting and proof of citizenship, the way the language is written, it will become easier for people to be challenged and potentially dropped from the voter rolls if they can't prove citizenship. And you might think that we're just talking about migrants here. No, we're talking about folks who are elderly, haven't seen their birth certificate in decades. We're talking about women who get married or divorced or go through some kind of a name change and don't have every single document up to date. Maybe that divorce or marriage just happened in the couple of weeks before the election. The whole thing is just ridiculous and unnecessary. And Deborah Kronmiller from the League of Women Voters is going to speak on behalf of a lot of other advocates saying, A, go vote. B, don't monkey with the Wisconsin Constitution. And then we have Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski will be joining us at 7:30, talking again about the importance of voting and what she sees as she has traveled all around the state, along with all of these campaigns with Vice President Kamala Harris, with Governor Tim Walz, with Senator Tammy Baldwin, with legislators. So we'll get her take on things. And then we'll wrap things up with Ben Wickler, the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. He'll join me along with Chad Holmes, and we will again talk about the conditions out there that we think are going to lead to a record turnout of voters. But of course, everybody is, how we like to say, nauseously optimistic about how things will go. There's a lot of signs that point in a positive direction for the country. I mean, you had that poll over the weekend that showed Vice President Harris was actually up in Iowa, although within the margin of error. So nobody's making the bold prediction that Kamala Harris is going to win Iowa. But if she's making that close, another sign being Donald Trump's rallies. I mean, one of the rally sites in Raleigh, North Carolina yesterday was, you know, basically a little over half full, a lot of empty seats there. And his language has become just so bleak. Same goes for his running mate, J.D. Vance. Again, just a personal opinion of mine, a loathsome individual whose closing message yesterday was that Vice President Kamala Harris is trash. So between him referring to her as trash and Trump referring to this accomplished woman as a low IQ individual, really should tell a lot of people, again, there are a lot of issues out there. We talked about the Restaurant Revitalization Fund as just one example. But maybe another example is just straight-up misogyny. Maybe it's just time to take out the trash on some of, well, when I was a kid, they were referred to as male chauvinist pigs. Anybody else remember that? And we thought those days were not entirely behind us, but certainly dwindling down. And instead, we look at the top of the ticket and the choices on the Republican side. I feel for my right of center friends, and I talk to them. I read what they're putting up, and they're not happy. You know, they were willing to try out, you know, this outside approach from Donald Trump in 2016, and maybe even vote for him again in 2020 against Joe Biden. But then he tried to stage a coup. He tried to overturn an election. And because he can't stop lying about that, it really starts with that. Because he couldn't stop lying about the 2020 election, I think it made it easier for people to continue to see that he lies about just about everything else that's out there. And it just makes it harder for his supporters to stick around and still be supporters in the 2024 election. So again, there are signs, but everybody still has the reminder of what happened in 2016 when the signs were late breaking for Donald Trump. And nobody wanted to believe that. Said, no, Hillary Clinton's got this. You know, those late signs, that won't be enough. Until they were, because people stayed home. People thought Hillary Clinton wasn't perfect. She didn't come to Wisconsin, whatever the case may be. They voted third party. So many more people voted just for Jill Stein than was the margin between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And I'm not saying every one of those folks was going to vote for Hillary Clinton. They weren't. But there are a lot of people who probably would have and probably regret what they brought upon this country. So again, my own personal opinion is any kind of a third party vote today is an absolute waste of your vote. There is only one way to send a message that we're going to stop in this country playing footsie with fascism. We're going to stop this talk about authoritarian strongmen. We're going to stop this momentum toward a Supreme Court that feels like the Constitution is more a set of guidelines than founding principles, as it were. This is our chance to do that. But to do it, everybody has to show up. Every eligible voter has to get out there and do their part. And so the polls will open in just about 42 minutes. They will then be open until 8 p.m. And then you get more of me later in the evening. Civic media coverage of election night will begin at 6 p.m. with Jane Matinere and Pete Schwabe, right? Pete Schwabe? Greg's over. Greg, yell hello over there, would you? Or is your mic working over there?
Oh, hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi, everybody.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Oh, good.
It's okay. Look at our guest has arrived. It's a desk. If you're watching the live stream, that joke makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But yes, I am here. We're getting things done. It's very, very great. And it's good to be up here in Madison with you and soon to be with Jane. And it's going to be an exciting, exciting day.
It is. It's going to be a long day. There will be at least one nap involved when I get done at 8 a.m. and before I come back at 8 p.m. And in the meantime, you all got to do your part and get out and vote, and then get other people to vote. All right, we'll take a pause here. We'll unpack some more of the headlines, and then Milwaukee Chef Dan Jacob joins us coming up in just in less than 15 minutes. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Election Day morning, when you're here, you're up north, even when we're in Madison, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm George Gale. I'm a longtime community organizer and lifelong Midwesterner. In this season of To See Each Other, we're heading to one of my favorite places, Wisconsin, to get to know a group of small town folks fighting for community and dignity for the elderly and a better future for us all. Join me in Merrill, population 9,000, where a beloved public nursing home is unexpectedly up for sale.
I was in tears. I talked to the social worker. What am I going to do?
I don't want to live under the bridge in a pasteboard box.
It's a heart-pounding roller coaster of a fight in a swing state that could determine the election. This is To See Each Other, where we explore how people are fighting for the future of rural America and how writing it off hurts us all. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He's a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy. One of Wisconsin's own, Dobie Maxwell, joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the?
You got Amish. Experience. Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
I'd say, pull me something tall and strong, make it a hurricane.
Oh, no, it is not 5 o'clock somewhere. Not yet. And frankly, by the time we get results, it might be 5 a.m. somewhere. We'll see on this election day morning. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Folks watching us on YouTube and Facebook, a few of you mentioned not hearing audio. So if you're watching us now and sticking with us and now hearing some sound, feel free to put something in the comment section so that we know, because we know it's going out through the radio all right, going through the Civic Media app. But obviously, this is why we do the dress rehearsals and why I probably shouldn't have skipped mine. But be that as it may, here we are getting set for election night coverage. And, yeah, when I talk about not knowing things until 5 a.m., we need to explain something called the Red Mirage. I know it sounds like it should be. It sounds like it should be something more.
Like it's the Aladdin sequel. No one wanted it.
But no, the Red Mirage is the term for the difference between votes that are counted early and votes that come in late. Now, we're living in a time now where so much of rural America is voting Republican, while folks in America's cities are voting Democratic. In rural areas, because there are fewer people in each ward, those wards get counted faster. They get reported faster. And Roger, thank you for the comment about no audio on Facebook. We will just keep working on that. So you're going to initially see partial results that reflect a whole lot of rural territory and a whole lot of territory that typically votes Republican. Then, as the bigger cities are counted, and it does take longer to count those, whether by machine, by hand, whatever the case may be, those results come in a little bit later. And it kind of reminds me of, you know, one of those state fair attractions with the water guns and the horse race, you know, and the first water gun isn't shooting anything for a while. It's not spitting out any results, but then it does, and then it catches up. So it would be understandable in any ordinary circumstance to say that, hey, wait, what's happening here? The Republicans were winning, and now they're not. Now it's exacerbated by Donald Trump lying and saying that that is proof of fraud rather than the way the process has always worked. And let's be clear, whatever the numbers look like, Greg, Donald Trump's going to declare victory tonight. I mean, he just is. And it doesn't matter if there's a red mirage. It doesn't matter if this is
you know, a Kamala Harris runaway, he's still going to say that there was fraud and he's going to declare victory. And so that's why I want to get on this ahead of time, because it's just a matter of fact. We almost could start a betting pool. When does Donald Trump first claim victory?
Yeah, actually, we talked about this yesterday on Matt and Air on Air, and I said that I think his supporters will call it when the East Coast closes, and I think he will call it when the West Coast closes, and it will just be constant barrage on social media about all of the non-problems happening all over the country with very safe vote counts happening. I think you said it. There's 1,800 clerks in the state alone, and personally, I feel like when you doubt their abilities, that is a huge slap in the face to what they've made their career to be, which is keeping our process safe, fair, and ongoing. So, yeah, they're going to talk. They're not going to stop talking for years.
Right.
But as long as we've got the processes in place, the safeguards are on, we are good to go, in my opinion.
Well,
and don't get intimidated by all that stuff. Just keep going. Just pour a drink, talk to some friends, whatever. But don't let that get you nervous.
Or also, go to sleep.
Yeah,
this doesn't have to be an all-nighter for everybody. And you know, when you get up, the final votes will have been tabulated in most places. Some places will be close, necessitate a recount. There's always the prospect of, you know, that somebody has a hiccup somewhere and that delays the results. But there has never been anything that shows that these hiccups are some kind of sign of widespread fraud. And frankly, when there has been monkey business the past 4 years, who's been doing it? Take a guess.
Maybe a landlord in Redding, California who forged all or did voter fraud for Trump.
Yes.
Or it's always the guy who stole two sample ballots to show that it wouldn't be right. Well, guess what? They saw him on camera. They went to his house. They got those back. It was corrected.
Yes. And it happens over and over again with every election. That there's always a few idiots who try to game things and somehow try to prove that the system is flawed, which, as we've said before, yes, you can rob a bank. But that doesn't – if you go rob the bank and go, see, I proved it could be done.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're going to jail.
Yeah.
The same goes for voter fraud, just as it goes for mail fraud. If you're sending in, you know, fraudulent ballots and all kinds of, you know, wire fraud, you name it, that happens. So the results will come in as they come in, as they get counted up, as they get reported. We're going to be reporting them right here on Civic Media. We've got our team at Up North News that will be posting social media updates all throughout the evening as well, talking to voters, talking to candidates, and hopefully, you know, being able to bring some kind of results, maybe enough of a trend that, you know, you can go to sleep thinking that you have a good idea. But even if you don't, guess what? Todd Alba and I are going to be anchoring Civic Media coverage from 8 p.m. till I'm probably going to bail out at midnight. Todd will probably go later. I'll go take a nap, and I'll be right back here at 6 a.m. tomorrow to pick it up. Yeah, I know. you get in early. Will you send me a note when you go to bed just to kind of rub it in, going, hits?
I guarantee you I won't fall asleep before 11 o'clock tonight.
Okay. Well, then I don't feel quite so bad. But, yeah, again, Jane Matinere and Pete Schwabe will have coverage from 6 until 8. Todd Alba and I from 8 onward. I will be checking in with my colleagues from Courier Newsroom all across the country. I've got colleagues in just about every swing state standing by to check in throughout our election night coverage to let you know what's happening from coast to coast and from border to border here in Wisconsin as well. All right, when we come back, Luke Mathers and I finally got a chance to visit with Milwaukee chef Dan Jacobs, talk about Top Chef and his election advocacy efforts. That's next. You're up north.
What country am I in?
It doesn't matter. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's always on 5 in Margaritaville, come to think of it.
Yeah, I heard that.
You've been there, haven't you?
Yes, sir. You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Commodity groups and farm organizations definitely encouraging the rural population to get out and vote. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, one of those. We'll hear from him next.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, reminding all farmers, rural community members, and agribusiness owners, your vote matters today. And it's not just about the presidential election. He said there is responsibility at all tiers of government that could impact Wisconsin agriculture.
Food is vital to sustain life on a daily basis, so farmers are really doing what the bishop in La Crosse Diocese once said, you are doing God's work, and providing the food and fiber for everyday life. And so, you know, can we make a difference in what happens in the future? Yes. And we've always talked about within the organization how your voice really does matter, whether it's at the county level, the state level, or the national level, and making sure that your farm or your business can stay in business and prosper for generations to come.
Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. As we lean into Election Day Tuesday, markets a little stronger in overnight trade. Numbers are next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
So the dairy trade on Monday wasn't impressed with all the poll activity. Barrel cheese dropped another 0.75 cents to 186. 40-pound block cheese on Monday was down 0.75 cents to 183. Double A butter gained another 0.5 cents to 267.5 per pound. This morning, December new crop corn's unchanged at 417. November new crop beans are up a nickel at 987. January beans up 2 at 999 a bushel. The December wheat is up 3 at 572. July new crop wheat up a penny and a half right now at 606. That's just a quick snapshot of where the numbers stand rolling into an Election Tuesday. I'm Pam Yankee.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cloudy and breezy with rain likely today. We could end up with a quarter to a half inch or more by the time it winds down this evening. High today in the low 50s. The wind will be northeast at 15 to 25. Tonight, 37. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 50. By Thursday, sunshine with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, special election coverage overtime with Maggie Dom plus former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And stick around for special Civic Media election night coverage. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
We will tell you why this song from Elton John is part of today's history lesson coming up in 15 minutes. But first, we had a chance to talk to Milwaukee chef Dan Jacobs and Luke Mathers and I as fans of the show. He's been doing some media appearances to talk not just about the show, but also about getting out the vote and some of the important issues in this election. Let's give a listen to that conversation. And Chef Dan Jacobs joins us now. Dan, thank you for joining us on Up North News Radio. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I mean, Luke and I talked about the show week after week. He's already a big fan of the whole franchise. I was a big fan of the season, and we're really looking forward to talking to you a bit about the show. But I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the timely matters first and your decision to be involved in Get Out the Vote efforts and supporting folks like Senator Tammy Baldwin. You don't have to do that, like I say to a lot of people, but you choose to. Why is that?
You know, I think getting out, I choose to because I think getting out the vote is one of the most important things we could do. Civically, this is how we, we choose our elected officials. These people work for us, and this is the most important time that we do this. It's not just, you know, on the top of the ballot. We're talking all the way down through to, you know, your local officials. The local officials are sometimes where I think, you know, change is most affected, the city and the county levels. But, you know, I've always been a big advocate of voting, just getting out that vote. And it's, you know, I think it's just really important. I think, you know, places like Milwaukee, if we can get out the vote and really, you know, show a real strong voter presence, I think, you know, we can really kind of affect change, you know, not just locally and at a state level, but also at a national level. Obviously, we're one of the, you know, probably biggest swing states that there is.
And then specifically as business leaders for Tammy Baldwin, what prompts that?
I mean, Tammy's amazing. As a small business owner, you know, I'm trying to use my voice in this election. You know, we need more elected officials like Tammy who prioritize things like healthcare, childcare, capital access, and support entrepreneurs who can, you know, start their growth, start their businesses. You know, Tammy's had her back during COVID, especially. Like, I think I remember back, you know, with Independent Restaurant Coalition, reaching out to the senator and asking her for support for the Restaurant Revitalization Fund, and she was always there. We were able to get $28.6 billion for independent restaurants across the country. And, you know, she saved quite a few restaurants, including her own, because of that. So, you know, being able to show a little bit of support any way I can is just great. I'm, you know, the restaurants, Dan Esrev, we don't take a political stance. We really try to, you know, kind of just stay even. But me as a person, I see what Tammy Baldwin does in our neighborhoods, in our communities, and I have to be able to speak out and support her.
And Dan, you referenced that Election Day is a really good time for civic engagement, but it's not the only time for civic engagement. We're seeing these new organizations that are popping up as well to be advocating for issues like that, healthcare, access to capital for small businesses like restaurant owners. One organization here in Wisconsin that's doing a lot with that is Main Street Alliance. Can you tell us a little bit more about your work with Main Street Alliance and what it's been like to be involved in not just the days leading up to an election, but kind of year-round advocacy?
I mean, you're absolutely correct. Like, I always look at the election as like the gateway to your civic engagement. You know, basically, our elected officials are a phone call away at any time. I literally have Congress on my cell phone. And all you have to do is, you know, operator answers the phone, you tell them where you want to go, and you get right into that. They direct you right to that office. Sure, you're not going to speak to the senator or congressperson like right away, but being able to tell your story, being able to tell them how you feel about a certain issue really kind of generates momentum. And I think that's where organizations like Main Street Alliance really come in strong. We're able to kind of organize a lot of voices going in the same direction. And, you know, especially at a national level, squeaky wheel gets the grease. And it really helps having a lot of voices kind of saying the same things. I got involved with Main Street Alliance back in 2020. I met Sean Fetteplace, who was kind of, you know, just the kind of the boots on the ground guy for Main Street Alliance in those days. And it was great to know that there was like an organization that not just for restaurants, but for small businesses in general that had our back, that wanted to see, you know, things change and wanted to see, you know, the things that make our community so special. Like you look around Wisconsin, you look around the city of Milwaukee, you know, independent restaurants, I'm just going to speak on independent restaurants because that's what I know. We're the gateway to communities. We're the gateway to how you learn about a culture. And I think it's just so important to have organizations like Main Street Alliance and Independent Restaurant Coalition and the James Beard Foundation just really having our back.
Well, that also leads to a question about one of the issues, and that would be the Farm Bill. We've talked about it on this program repeatedly, especially through our climate segments, talking about conservation programs, but we always seem to talk about it from that farm standpoint, and yet you are one of many chefs and people in the restaurant industry who signed a letter asking Congress to pass a Farm Bill and to protect these conservation-related programs. Why would a big city chef and others in your field do something like that?
I mean, our relationships are directly related between farmers and us. Like I think my longest standing and most rewarding relationships I've had over the years working in restaurants has been with farmers. We use a group of farmers, you know, I see them every week at the farmers market. We spend hundreds of dollars a week at the farmers market. I think during the height of summer, which is because of climate change, is more like September, we spend like $1,200 a week at the farmers market. I signed on with the James Beard Foundation's climate change effort because I thought it was incredibly important to make sure that the Farm Bill, which is a volume of a bill, specifically puts aside, so they have a $20 billion conservation fund. It's in the Farm Bill. But the House version of it, it's kind of broad, and it also, you know, really is, it's kind of a large gray area as to what that means. I think what we're trying to do is specifically ask for climate smart agriculture. And these are things that have been being done, crop rotation, tillage, mulching. I mean, these are things that have been done forever, but I think it really is one of those things that kind of helps farmers be able to do things in the right way. And if people don't believe in climate change, I mean, it's crazy to me to think that it doesn't. I mean, we see it in the seasons now. Like, I remember 10 years ago, we would start getting peas and rhubarb in like late April, early May. Well, now we're not getting that stuff until like June. Everything pushes back. Like I said earlier, like the height of summer, which used to be like middle of August, it's now more like middle of September. Everything keeps getting pushed back a little bit more, and we see the effects of change. Or like this year, we had, you know, huge rains and then nothing. And so, you know, the farmer who grows our greens and our cabbages for Dandan, St. Craft Farms, I mean, they had whole crops lost because just blown out with water. And this is something that's relatively new within the last 10 years, and that's directly related to climate change.
And as Pat mentioned at the top, you're a very busy man of late, and you didn't have to take the time out to do the advocacy that you're doing. Part of the reasons why you're so busy, Dan, I believe, is coming up as one of the finalists for this past season of Top Chef. And so Pat has teased me throughout since the Wisconsin announcement about how much my love for Top Chef is pretty evident when he started talking to me about it. I was geeking pretty hard when the announcement for the Wisconsin season came out. Can you tell us
I can fact check that. That is true. That is.
I was over the moon. And for me, I don't really love the term foodie. It's not like something that I usually typically use to describe myself. But my wife and I have a lot of reverence for food. Like, we enjoy cooking together. Our favorite things to do is to go out and eat at new restaurants. We recently had a date night at Dandan. It was fantastic.
Nice.
So hats off to you there. We couldn't choose from the menu, just the few. Like, there were a few things that we wanted to get that we were just like, we're not going to be able to eat this time, so next time we're gonna nice. Get those items. But can you tell us a little bit about the experience of being on Top Chef, being the hometown kid in representing Milwaukee in a Wisconsin edition of the season?
Well, I mean, first off, it was terrifying. like, I looked around the room when we first got there, and I realized I was the only one from Wisconsin, and it was like, oh shit, I have to do really well. Like, oh, all right, game on. So it was definitely a little jarring, but it's, I mean, man, they really, you know, it's tough, and it's more mentally tough, I think, than anybody really lets on. Like, it's definitely like, it's the people that last the longest, I think, are the people that are the most like mentally tough. They're able to kind of, you know, I used to joke around, but I used to say, like, just be like water and just let things happen, because you're completely out of control. And this is from a bunch of people, like chefs, who are like control freaks, you know, and we, all of a sudden, you're taken out of your ability to control what's going on. And it's tough, you know. It was incredibly fun. I met so many people that I'm going to be friends with for the rest of my life. You know, it was, to be able to get all the way to the finale and basically come in second place, I'm incredibly happy with the performance that I was able to put forth. I even said to Danny when he won, I hugged him and I told him that, you know, I'm happy to be his number two anytime. And it, you know, it was close, but it was, you know, it came down to Danny made like something that nobody's ever done before. Like this candied seaweed cantaloupe dessert was amazing. It was delicious, but it also elicited like a memory, a childhood memory for Tom. As soon as he said that, I was like, well, I didn't win. Like, I was like, I'm not going to win this. But it was, I mean, it was so much fun, and it was such a cool experience. There was nothing like it. And given the opportunity to do it again, I would do it in a second.
Oh, I mean, you applied many, many times. You were very, you persevered. you were going to get there, and then you did get there. And I think we really did see the mental fatigue, the anguish of not having control over what you're making. And so that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, of all the different things you made, it's not your favorite, because that's probably something familiar. What were you most proud of from the standpoint of you need to come up with something fast? And you did it and you nailed it. Which one were you happiest about?
You know, I look back and I think it coincides with my favorite challenge as well. And I think that was the Indigenous Foods Challenge. First off, that challenge is really cool because of the lack of spotlight, I think, that cuisine gets. You know, there's Sean Sherman and Elena Terry, who are both friends of mine. They cooked for us before the challenge, and Sean asked this question about, has any chef actually eaten in Indigenous restaurant? And none of us said yes. And that to me was just like, it was like, man, this needs to change. Like, we need to correct this. It was, you know, it was a difficult challenge in the fact they took away all of the colonial ingredients. So anything that was post colonial times, so like butter, sugar, flour, citrus, like these are things that, like, especially like citrus, I mean, we use that all the time. And so it was like, okay, you really got to rethink how you do stuff. Like, how do I get that sort of zing that I would get out of citrus, or, you know? And it was really fun. And the dish I ended up making was like basically using a whole sunflower, like taking a vegetable and using it all the way through, and then fortifying it with goose, which is something I don't usually cook. And it was really fun. I was, you know, I'm most proud of the fact that, like, I basically, on Top Chef, I didn't really cook anything that was on any of our menus, or, you know, I basically cooked, like, from my heart on all the challenges and just kind of, you know, see what would happen. It was really fun.
I could ask you so many more questions about it, but we really appreciate you joining us, Dan, because I'm serious, just a huge fan. It was incredible to see. We really appreciate you for your advocacy and the work that you're doing in the community as well.
Yes, you are. Dan, thanks again so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Chef.
And my apologies, we had a little audio issue with that one as well, but we persevered, and as Tony likes to say from up in Ashland, just for Greg's benefit, what a great chef testant he was. Back with today's history lesson after this. You're up north. That's the name. And he sends him to the finest school in town. Leave on.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think he's right. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Badger fans, the final home matchup at Camp Randall Stadium is just around the corner, and it's a big one. This Black Friday, Badger football takes on Minnesota in a battle for Paul Bunyan's axe. Great tickets remain for the border battle matchup, but they're going fast. Don't miss out on your chance to be in the stands. Secure your seats for November 29th. For more information and to get your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Don't wait. Get your spot today.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. As the campaigning comes to an end and your ballot is cast, you'll find continuing coverage of this important election right here.
Special reports start at 6 November 5th, and when the polls close at 8, coverage of the presidential, Senate, and your important local races will come in from around the state.
It's your vote as Wisconsin Decides on November 5th, starting at 6 p.m. on 107.5 WLAK and the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take ya. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego, baby, why don't we go? Jamaica, off the Florida Keys.
'Twas on this day in 1988 that the Beach Boys had gone 22 years without a number one hit, but broke that with Kokomo, without Brian Wilson, from the movie Cocktail. It was their first number one hit since Good Vibrations in 1966, again this day in 1988, as part of today's history lesson. A lot of birthdays today, starting here with happy birthday to Art Garfunkel, 83 years old today. Part of Simon and Garfunkel, and part of this classic.
And friends just can't be found like a bridge over troubled water. I will lay me down.
Graham Parsons from The Byrds. The late Graham Parsons was born this day in 1946. Passed away far too soon at the age of 26. Kevin Jonas, the oldest of the Jonas Brothers, is 37 today. Yes, one of the Jonas Brothers is 37. Let's see. There was a number one hit this day in 1966 by the Monkees. On this day in 1872, in defiance of the law, Susan B. Anthony voted for the very first time and was fined $100 because women would not be given the right to vote for nearly another 50 years in this country. Brian Adams has a birthday today. He is 65. Pretty soon he'll be able to do this song here about the summer of, well, he'll be 69 one of these days. See, it's the summer I turned 69.
But I turned 69.
But instead, Bryan Adams is 65 today. Kris Jenner is 69. Tatum O'Neal is 61 years old today.
Oh.
And Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits is 77.
Roger puts on Facebook, I'd like to wish a happy 77th birthday to Peter Noon. If you haven't seen him live, he is still very funny and entertaining. So thanks for that, Roger. Appreciate that. Let's see, what else do we have for birthdays here? That's it for that. We've got some music notes here. Why were we playing Elton John before? Because his fourth album, Madman Across the Water, was released this day in 1971 with Levon and this single. Oh, you know what? Tony up in Ashland reminds me I missed a birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Governor Tony Evers is 73 years old today. Mike Score. You don't know him, but you know what group he sang with. A Flock of Seagulls. He is 67 years old today.
He has a lot of opinions on this song.
And on this day in 2003, Jimmy Buffett won his first ever Country Music Association Award when It's 5 o'clock Somewhere, his duet with Alan Jackson, was named Vocal Event of the Year. You've heard the phrase, Elvis has left the building. It actually was rooted in something that actually happened. And it happened this day in 1971 at the old Met Center in Bloomington, Minnesota. Remember, that's where the Minnesota North Stars played. It was right next to Metropolitan Stadium, where the Twins and the Vikings used to play in Bloomington. The Mall of America and a monster-sized IKEA is on that site now. But it was at the Met Center where Elvis had finished a concert. People were hanging around. Finally, announcer Al Devorin got on the mic and told the crowd, "Elvis has left the building." The phrase soon entered the cultural lexicon used to signal that an event is truly over. Stop hanging around. No autographs, no photos. He did not choose you to go to the after party. Go home.
Now you know they left because they turned the lights on. Like, maybe they're going to do an encore. Maybe they'll do an encore.
No, the lights are on. Go home. The party's over.
Yeah.
This is National Redhead Day. This is National Chinese Takeout Day. And this is World Tsunami Awareness Day. Well, that's kind of a killjoy. Can't really do anything with...
Wait, hey, guys, we're aware.
Yeah, we're aware. We are. Tsunamis, bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got that.
Lasagna, good.
Wait. No, we did lasagna awareness already.
I know.
Oh, yes, it was good. Sports, the Milwaukee Bucks, they've now fallen to 1-6. Cleveland is now 8-0. The Cavaliers slipped past the Bucks, 116-114. The Bucks were without Giannis and Chris Middleton due to injuries. They will host the Utah Jazz on Thursday at the Fiserv Forum. And yes, there's already talk about whether Giannis will be traded before the NBA trade deadline, which I don't know when that is. I just know he's not going to be traded. So the sooner we can get to whatever this deadline is, the better.
Just with the negativity. It just started.
I know. It's just... All right. The trading deadline, here it is February 4th, it looks like. February 8th, rather. Okay. We're going to have to put up with this chatter for a while. Or the Bucks are just going to have to start winning some games.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, we're going to have Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters talking about that constitutional referendum on the ballot today. And then we've got Ben Wickler and Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. You're up north.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it is here. It is election day. Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. Make sure you go to vote. Make sure you join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Dom Salvia Show.
You always have to consistently, till the day you die, stand up and fight for those rights. You got to stand up for yourself. You got to stand up for your neighbors and your friends and even folks that you don't maybe agree with politically, that they also have the very same right. And anybody trying to stop that is going absolutely against what this country is supposed to be all about. I think more people need to stand up and say, you cannot stop me from voting.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.